Today's message is seeking and trusting God in a crisis. I thought that was an appropriate title for a time just like this. And we'll be looking into Psalm 63 and diving into these verses and scriptures to marinate and meditate on how King David reacted in such a time of crisis in his life, and how he responded and how God used him, and how he was a man after God's own heart. And it's interesting how he would respond in such a time. So we're going to be looking at Psalms. So I wanted to explain a little bit about Psalms for you. Psalms could be classified basically into three different types of categories. There's a praise psalms, there's lament, and there's wisdom. And then there's subcategories. Psalm 63 is pretty much a psalm of lament. It's poetry, and it's a hymn, it's a song. It's also classified as a royal psalm. A lament psalm expresses human struggles like deep sorrow, grief, and regret. Laments generally contain a vocative in the first line. For an example, it's going to say like, "Oh Lord," or "Oh God." Whenever you see a psalm that starts like that, it's typically a psalm of lament. It usually starts with a complaint. They also regularly include elements such as complaints, petitions, confessions of trust, and vows of praise. See, the Old Testament prophets, or poets, let's say, would use words as an art, like a painting, painting a picture of some sort. They appeal to our emotions and use images to convey their meaning. They paint colorful pictures with words to convey that message loaded with emotional impact. Now, this doesn't mean that they ignored logic. It's just like a painter, when you see them paint and you go to one of these art galleries and you look at the painting. If you sit there long enough and look at the painting, you'll see some things that people don't see, because the painter, it's such an art that they're trying to express certain things in that painting. And the prophets, or the poets, are actually trying to do that through poems, so we can see the picture through the words. Now, David focuses on his emotional response to that complaint in this psalm, to those who are against him and against God, and he's also praising God through words. So the prior chapter, Psalm 61 and 62, carries a theme of trust, and it reaches a climax here in chapter 63. That's what we're going to be reading today. So these psalms pretty much resound. They just impact our heart, and it stirs up a lot of us spiritually and emotionally when we read a psalm. See, now we shouldn't minimize that. Instead, we should drink deeply of it, because it's so relaxing, or quenching of the soul and spirit, when we read these psalms. Like, they're so impactful. So before I begin reading Psalm 63, I wanted to kind of give you a backdrop. Basically, the backstory is actually in 2 Samuel's chapter 15, verses 23. You could also see some stuff in 28, in chapter 16, verse 2. You'll find out some information about Absalom, who's David's son, and his rebellion. He had a half-brother called Amon, who pretty much raped his sister, Tamar. Tamar and Absalom were full brothers and sister. Amon was a half-brother, and he pretty much raped her, and David got upset but didn't do nothing. He didn't execute justice, and Absalom took it upon himself to kill his half-brother. Then he pretty much ran away for 3 years. David brought him back, and again, didn't execute anything. So Absalom basically rebelled. He went and pretty much winning the hearts of men of Israel and took the kingdom. Now, his father, King David, had to flee or to be killed by his son Absalom. However, again, King David loved his son so much that he told his commanders and generals to deal gently with his son Absalom. But eventually Absalom got caught up, the rebellion was squashed, and Joab ended up sending some spears through him and killed him. And Psalm 63 is David's plea to God to protect him from his enemies, but at the same time you have to realize and hear the pain he's going through as he has this conflict between saving his kingdom and saving his son because he loves him dearly. So that's the backdrop. Psalm 63 reads, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate in you the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadows of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the powers of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped. Yes, praise the Lord. I will be sharing 3 points with you. Point number one, David thirsts for God. Point number two will be David was satisfied with God. And point number three, David had confidence with God. As we dive in to point number one, the verse stated, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. First of all, we got to look at the word earnestly in Hebrew, which actually means early. So it's, O God, you are my God. Early I seek you. See, David prays early in the morning seeking God. He was basically expressing his eagerness to meet with God. He couldn't wait for the cool of the day. He wanted to do that right away. There was actually an old Christian tradition that they would actually pray 3 times a day. One early in the morning, one at noon, and one at night. And I think that's a great thing to do. I actually put some alarms on my phone to remind me at those times for me to pray. And I just stop what I'm doing and I just get right into prayer, especially now. The next thing it talks about is prayer pretty much sets the tone for the day, right? Because if you start off your day without praying, your day's done for. You got to get into the Word so that God could give you the strength to lead you through the day. And if you're not doing that, I challenge you to do that. Second, here we see is in a crisis, David was seeking God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, and when you shall search for me with all your heart, will find him." Psalms 119:2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with their whole heart." Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For we that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So David seek God. We should be seeking God. Then David continues with, he thirsts for God. As soon as David wakes up early in the morning, just like the rest of us, we need water. He was basically speaking of his sense of dependency on God. Right? He wants a drink from the Lord. Just like we want a drink of water early in the morning where we wake up and our mouths are completely dry. And it just needs to be refreshed. Next, it says, "My flesh longs for you." Why? Because he wanted to know God better. Like the verse that said, "As a deer who pants for water, my soul pants for you, O God." See, he had human struggles, like deep sorrows, grief of regret. His son Absalom was taking the kingdom from him. And at the same time, he struggled because he didn't want him dead. And he was just in a dark place, and there were some difficult moments in his life, and he was just crying out. But he knows that if he doesn't seek the Lord, he'll be in a bad place. Many of us are in a dark place. Are we seeking the Lord? Are we crying out to him like David did? These verses are some good reminders to bring us back to the Lord. See, he confessed his broken heart to his son as he wept. You know, David knew God knows what's best for him and for his son. But as much as he tried, his son rebelled. The verse says, then he says, he longed for God in a parched and weary land, in a desert where there's no water. Just imagine and picture. These words are so rich in pictures themselves. Just imagine the clay and the dirt. It's just all dried up and bristled, and there's cracks everywhere. There's no water. And it says there, in a desert where there is no water. So he longs for God in a parched and weary land where there is no water. So he's looking for that quenching of that thirst. That's how he's pursuing the Lord. So do you see the picture he's getting across here? It's to search for God daily in our prayers and in his word. Now, Jacob dug a well to find water. Everybody in a situation that's looking for water goes to some extreme measure to go get it. How deep are we digging? Do you have a desire to know God deeply? We need to be. Verse number 2 says, "So I have looked upon your sanctuary, beholding your power and glory." See, David came to know his need for God in the tabernacle. You know, he was the one who was actually preparing. He was getting everything ready, and he wanted to build the temple, but God told him no, told him your son's going to build it. But he had the experience of seeing what the tabernacle was in the tent. So though he was far from the ark because his son took over the kingdom and he had to flee into the desert, to the desert, the wilderness of Judah, and the ark wasn't there with him to worship God, but he still, in his heart, he still sought God even though he wasn't there, but he saw God's power and glory through it. He saw how God could bring victory in situations that were bleak. This wasn't the first time. He trusted the Lord, and he knew he was going to give him victory at the end. How many of us are right now believing that this situation going on right now in your life, the things happening in the world right now, that God is sovereign all of it, over all of it. He's permitted it. And right now, the harvest is ready. People are ready to come to the Lord because they are in chaos and they need to hear the gospel. We need to trust God that He knows what He's doing. Point number two, David was satisfied with God. Verses 3-8. And it says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Steadfast means dutifully firm and unwavering. That's his love that God has for us. And David's reminding us of his steadfast love is better than life, that his lips will praise him. See, David's thirst found relief in praise. Now, when you think about that, think about lips, mouth, praise. It's all about worship. But I wanted to share a little story about an old lady up in France that basically she was a blind girl who obtained the Gospel of Mark in raised letters and learned to read it by using the tips of her fingers. But constant reading, they became callous, and her sense of touch diminished until she could not distinguish the characters anymore. One day she cut the skin from the ends of her fingers to increase the sensibility, only to destroy it. She felt that she must now give up her beloved book, and weeping, pressed her lips, saying farewell to the sweet words of my Heavenly Father. To her surprise, her lips were more delicate than her fingers, discerned the forms of the letters. All night she pursued and pressured with her lips the Word of God and overflowed with joy at this new acquisition. She used her lips to read God's word and praise God. David worshiped God with his lips. How much more should we? He considered God's loyal love better than life. See, God loves nourishes more than water. It gives us all the necessities we need in life. Again, if we're in a desert, He's the one who gives us the word of life, that living waters. See, David lifted up his hands in these verses as well. It says, with a gesture of prayer. When you lift up your hands, it's not just worship, it's also prayer. It's in Psalms 28:2. It's in Lamentations 2:19, or respect in Psalms 119:48. So when we lift up our hands, we're lifting it up in praise, but we're also lifting it up in prayer, that we completely depend on God. Verses 5 and 6 say, my soul will be satisfied as with the fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watch of the night. See, it's like eating the best food you ever ate. It's like going to a great barbecue place. Like, I love to go eat at Fuego de Chao. Why? Because they bring up all kinds of meats, and they just keep bringing. And it's so satisfying, and I love that food. See, but it says that God satisfies more than the best foods we can imagine. And when David couldn't sleep because of his thoughts being consumed, how many times has that happened to us when we're sleeping and we can't think, when we have a problem and we're in a dark place and we're just twisting and turning? Well, he reminds us to draw us to the Lord, and he gives us ease and reposes ourselves. Now, how much more would an hour of devotion and meditation and prayer when we can't sleep will do us more than sleep. That's what David's saying here. He says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Those are verses 7 and 8. See, God's supports and his provisions of safety caused David to meditate and praise God. See, we got to remember those things, because when we're in those situations, we got to believe that God's going to provide and he's going to give us safety, and that's going to cause us to meditate and praise as well. But we need to do it beforehand, trusting him. See, David pictured himself as a dependent infant chick under his mother's wing. Now, I don't know if you guys ever done this, but I lived in Puerto Rico, and I would see the chickens when my grandfather would throw the corn so the chickens would eat it. And I would see the little baby chicks, and I was so curious. I was probably about 14, 15 years old, and I would approach the little chick to try to pet the chick. But the mother would lift up her wings. All the chicks would run underneath the wings, and she would attack. And I think about that and think about the Lord, and how much more would he do for us when somebody's trying to do harm to us? And that just gives me so much joy and peace and comfort. Point number 3, David had confidence with God, verses 9 through 11. And it says, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackal. But for the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped." Here David reflected on God. It boosted his confidence that God will preserve him in his present situation. See, you could be in a dark place. You could be in a situation that's going nuts, like what we're experiencing today in our society. But we put our confidence in God and God alone. See, we would be better to be delivered because of our submission to the Lord. And that's exactly what David did. He believed that God would be his deliverer. See, when you side with God, you could be confident, and then you can rejoice because he's on your side. Now, many don't have that opportunity. Our enemies are the ones that will be destroyed. And it says here in 10, it says, "They will be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals." Now, jackals is a type of dog. They say fox, but it's a jackal. And the Egyptians would worship a god, Anubis, which was a form of a jackal. It's like a man that's, you know, standing but has the head of a dog of some sort. And basically, all the time they would see these animals, it would always be eating dead things. And it would literally unbury people and all kinds of stuff. So they associate it with death and destruction. So when it says here that they shall be given over to the power of the sword, they shall be a portion for the jackal, it's basically saying God's gonna send his destruction upon our enemies. But the king, which is describing King David, shall rejoice in God. How much more shall we rejoice in God? We need to spend some time and really reflect on what the Lord is telling us today. Again, I hit 3 points. David thirsts for God. Are we thirsting for him? David was satisfied with God. Are we satisfied? And David had confidence with God. Do we have confidence that God's going to get us through? So I have a few questions here for you that I want you to meditate and marinate on. Question number 1. How do you express your human struggles, like deep sorrows, grief, or regret? And if you can't answer that, why wouldn't you? Point number two, the Old Testament poetry was a way with connecting with us. How can you connect with your group deeper or with other men, both with joy and in despair in your current situation? See, David didn't hold back. David said everything in his heart. He said the good, the bad, the ugly, but he always went back and thanked God because he knew God was going to take care of it all. Number three, how can you express your satisfaction with God in your crisis? Is he your deliverer? Do you have confidence in him? And point number four, well, question number four, is how can you have more confidence in God's ability to get you through your situation? Whatever that situation may be. It could be that you have a health problem and you're worried and full of fear with this coronavirus. It could be your loved ones. It could be anything. It could be your financial situation, right? Because this is going to affect our jobs. This is going to affect the way we provide for our families. It's going to affect in many ways. How can we have confidence in God? How can we say like David said, "My soul thirsts for you, but earnestly I seek you early in the morning. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." How could we seek God in this dry place? Seeking him is the solution to our problems. Men, we have an opportunity to look for those who don't know who the Lord is, and to present the gospel to them. We also have an opportunity to come before God and ask God for forgiveness and repentance on where we are in our lack of faith. So take an opportunity, call up a brother, since we're not gathering today, and ask these questions. Open up, share your heart, ask for prayer, pray for your brothers. And the Lord's going to get us through, brothers. The Lord will have victory at the end. Brothers, be blessed, and we love you for his glory.